And this morning, as I was back there a few minutes praying and getting ready, God wanted me to start with this scripture. Well, scriptures, I should say, in Proverbs. And he took me to Proverbs 33 first. Or Proverbs 1, verse 33. Okay, Proverbs 1, verse. Yeah, I said, wait a minute, there's only 31. That's the one I pray over my wife all the time. Yeah, okay. Well, verse 33 says, "But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil." And evil is bad. Evil is bad. And then it said, go to Proverbs chapter 3. And these are verses 21 through 26. "My son, let them," and this is talking about his word, "not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. He will watch over you and protect you, folks." That's an intro into our message, which is part two of what we were left off from last week about pushing the start button with our words. You know, everyone keeps saying, and we keep hearing over and over, the phrase, "This is the new norm." We keep hearing and hearing and hearing. And then what? We start saying. We start agreeing. And ultimately, we end up accepting it. What? Come on. Hey, brother, there's an old saying. If it walks and talks and acts like a duck, it's a duck. Right? What we are witnessing is not the new normal. What we are witnessing is the devil getting all of his ducks in a row. Burn down the churches? Come on. This is America. I mean, that's the threats they're using. So who's behind it? You know. As we look around the world in the day and age in which we live, we find ourselves questioning everything we're told. The truth is, we have never had more access to information, but have never been more weary of the information we are being told as truth. You know the go-to response for knowledge and truth is? Go to the three. Siri, Alexa, and Google. Am I right? You just pick up your cell phone. You know, and then Google Assist is at the top. You know, they score a 92.9% of answering the questions correctly. Siri answers 83.1% of questions, while Alexa gets 79.8% correct. And we go to them? Okay. And you know, they even bring correction. They'll say, "Are you sure?" That's what you want? Who are they to question me? I asked them to question. Just answer it.
Right.
They want clarity. Makes you wonder. You know, but I got to admit, you know, having the ability to find out things and to gain knowledge at our fingertips in just seconds, it is amazing. But we got to rightly discern the truth and what we get. We find ourselves wondering more and more if all the information we obtain, though, is actually truth. Or is it the ulterior motive of the alternative of what we've always known as truth and what is good? One might always say anyone given the choice can make the distinction between good and evil. In the information age we live in, how sure can we be? What are we being force-fed? And that's what it's like, being force-fed. You'll like it. And they just keep shoving it in. Sooner or later, the vessel is going to get stuffed and go, bah! And then look out. So to do that, we got to be in the Word. We got to study the Word. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, we're talking about studying the Word here. It says, work hard so God can say to you, well done. Be a good workman, one who does not need to be ashamed when God examines your work. Here's the key. Know what His Word says and means. Means study time. Means spending daily time in His Word. You know, and before you start reading and meditating, you know, it is a good idea to ask the Holy Spirit to bring clarity and enlightenment of the Scriptures to your spirit. Wording up is important. Words. We know that God says are important. In Psalm 138, verse 2, I'm going to read it to you, but I took the you out and put the word God in it because that's who it's talking about. God has exalted His word above all His name. He's the one who did it. Exalted that word. You know how many years this Bible has been under attack? And you know what the Word does every time it's been attacked? It goes, just brushes it off. Nothing has been able to change the words that God put in here. He didn't add any more. He hasn't subtracted. He put these words together. He put 66 books for us. He gave us His Word. And our words are just as important that we speak. Amen. So how did you do this past week when you pushed your start button? And I'm talking about your words. Did you do throughout the week like Proverbs chapter 15 verse 28 says? Did you think carefully before speaking? Did you engage your brain before the tongue started wagging and the lips started flapping? I have to say it the way, because see, that's how it speaks to my head. Your first words, they matter. I got what? I got Debbie, I got Lynn. And they got the same hairdo, by the way. And it's awesome. I like it. Coming back strong. Coming back strong. And the same as the teacher that went back this morning, my wife. First words that spoke. They matter. And they often determine your outcome, good or bad. Proverbs 29:20 says, "Do you see someone who speaks in haste? There is more hope for a fool than for them." And you know, brother, I had to go because I got to see. I said, what did the Message Bible say? Observe the people who always talk before they think. Even simpletons are better off than they are. See, no matter how wise you are, you got to stop and think before you speak. Because a wise person can become very foolish when they speak too quickly. It's better to keep one's mouth shut or to choose your words carefully than to speak whatever first comes in to your mind. The way we talk, the way we think, goes way back. Back to our infant years. We've been talking since we were about 9 months old. And they say for girls, it's sooner than that. Yeah. Yeah. Tim, ever since Gwen first started talking, and she would get upset, and she would start crying about something. Crystal, am I right? Would stop her. Gwen, and use your words. She just started learning how to talk, and she talked. Use your words. The words that you have learned. Use your words. I remember that. And Gwen would always, Crystal always said, Gwen, use your words. And she did. She's very articulate. So was Jack. And a lot of us as Christians need to stop whining and crying. We better choose our words. Amen. And Proverbs 12, verse 14, a man will be satisfied with good by the words of his mouth. Well, the words that come forth can really satisfy you. Because if you've spoken a wrong thing, you walk away. Boy, you just wish you could scrape your tongue off because you get convicted by the Holy Spirit. Like, what did you just let come out of your mouth? Stop and think. See, our parents, they taught us how to talk. So whatever they spoke and received, you have probably spoken and received. Which can be good or bad. Like one man said, Grandma taught it and we bought it. Well, that for one explains generational curses, does it not? If your mom and your dad taught you how to talk, which they learned from their parents, then their confession may have opened up the door to the curse. They may have said things like, Johnny, and I used my name, Johnny, you take care of yourself, honey, because you know, the doubter men don't live very long. I used that last name to protect the innocent. Or they may say, you know, just accept it because when you get about this age, you're going to have diabetes and you're going to have problems with your kidneys. What? They prepared you for it. And you know, I'll tell you a story that in my family. And I used to tell the trees till I got educated, okay? And I had confession correctors. And I'm telling you, confession correctors like Teresa and then Vicky. I'm just telling you, they don't let you get away with nothing. Well, anyhow, I used to say, Therese, don't worry about that. You only got me till I'm 68. And she'd say, yeah, because everybody told us, Robinson boys, They make it to 68. That was always the talk in my family, on my dad's side. I say on my dad's side. Because my grandmother, my dad's mom, died at 68. Her brother, who helped her to raise the boys, died at 68. My Uncle Bill died at 68. My Uncle Spark died at 68. My dad died at 68. My Aunt Malvina died at 68. And when I got corrected to stop saying that, and I prayed against those words because then I realized how important that. And then my Uncle Mike, we're out at the garage at my brother's place, and I'm talking to him. And I remember he was nervous wreck. And I said, what's the matter? He said, I only got a year to live. I said, what? I said, I thought he had some diagnosis or something, right? Right there, right? He said, you know, the Robinsons only make it to 68. And I had already been turning my confession around. Amen. I said, oh, no, it doesn't have to be that way, Unc. Oh, yeah, you don't know. So we had a discussion there. And then, again at the garage, a couple weeks later, working on a race car. Got to talk to Uncle Mike again. Uncle Mike says, you mean I don't have to die at 68? I said, no. I don't know where, you know. So we get that. He just starts saying, no, I'm going to live a long life. And, it, you know, you got to understand Uncle Mike. He was like, oh, really? Okay. Well, he started doing that. Uncle Mike died at 79.
Yeah. Amen. Break that curse. Amen.
So what I'm saying is, but he had a fear. You should have seen it. He was afraid. Generational curses. Words. Powerful. And if we keep saying the same thing over and over, you're going to keep getting the same thing you've always gotten. That's the definition of insanity. Doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results. Right. Bill Murray in Groundhog Day? Same results. The world we live in defines, or definitely affects our thinking, does not? Because it defines it and affects the way we think. So that means we must change the way we think. And the way we speak. And in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. It's talking about a renewed mind. God transforms our way of thinking as we read and meditate His Word. And when our way of thinking is changed, our believing will change, and it will change the way we react and speak. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. God has good, pleasing, and perfect plans for each and every one of us. He wants us transformed with renewed minds, living to honor and obey Him. He wants only the best for us. He gave us His Son to make our new lives possible. He gave us His best. When our minds are renewed by the Word, the words we speak will be faith-filled words. And faith-filled words do not include whining, crying, complaining, and murmuring. Well, His Word tells us in Philippians 2:14 in the YL translation, all things do without murmurings and complaining. That's what the Word says. Because when you do, it just takes you further into that deep hole that you're in of doubt and unbelief. But if we speak faith, we speak the answer, and we'll change our circumstances. Faith-filled words change our circumstances. All the complaining and all the murmuring and whining and crying isn't going to change anything. Speak words of faith. That's how the spirit of faith is at work in our lives, by the way we speak. And it doesn't quit. But you got to give it something to work with. Word up. When faith calls, God answers. For we live by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. We believe in the things we do not see. Very simple. Have you seen Jesus? No. But you believe Jesus is real, do you not? Yeah, I thought it was really good. Yeah. He's alive in heaven right now, is he not? And he's ever living to make intercession for you and for me. Praise God. We live by faith. We walk by faith. We must speak faith. Every day we must speak it. Because the Word tells us in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. A faithful person will diligently seek him. Faith seeks, and faith will find. When faith calls, God answers. Remember the woman with the issue of blood? Mark chapter 5. You can turn it, because we're going to go there in a minute. She had been going to doctors for years and upon years and was no better. In fact, it said she grew worse. Most anemic person ever probably recorded in history. She heard, though, by the word of mouth, because they didn't have what we have nowadays. But she heard by word of mouth about Jesus. And she believed in what she was hearing and hearing and hearing from those that she was talking to. And she believed that Jesus had the power to heal. But more importantly, she said it. What she said, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. And she put it all on the line that day. Yeah, she put her life on the line. If you're there in Mark 5, verses 27 through 29, just so you know, I didn't make it up. When Jesus heard about, when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. When she touched. When she reached out and touched. But she came saying what she believed. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to say something. You speak the answer, and you speak the answer about our life, our body, and our finances. You go to Jesus, and you'll reach out. Reach out in faith and touch him. There's a connection. You can make that connection. Yeah. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Did he have to be there to heal the servant of the centurion? No! Those are words. 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 And what did Jesus say to her? Daughter, your faith has made you well. Debbie, Lynn, Teresa, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Healed of your affliction. Because of your faith and trust and reliance on Him. Was it easy? No. Was it a battle? Yes. But you have the victory through Jesus Christ because you put your confidence and your trust in Him. You did not waver. Praise God. We not only applaud the faith that you have, but we applaud our Lord Jesus for what He did. He took you from that position that you're in to a position that you are now in remission. You're waiting for the last signal that Debbie just got. Cancer free. Teresa got two more treatments and they said, and they'll say, cancer free. Amen. But then you take a hold of Nahum 1:9. Yeah. Because I believe when he spoke that to her, her affliction was already gone immediately. But he said, it will not come nigh thee a second time. Amen. Nahum 1:9. Yeah. Grab a hold of that. Liver shall function and operate as the one that was originally in your body because He matched it perfectly for you. Yes, He did. And that's what you say, the same thing. Affliction will not come upon my body a second time. Words of faith, let them come out. Gives you strength. Hallelujah. When we believe God, in spite of what we see, feel, and hear, He moves on our behalf. He will never forsake us. When we call upon Him, He will answer. 1 Peter 3:2 says, He hears, His ears are open to our prayers. And what's Psalm 91, verse 15 say? When they call on me, I will hear them. When you call on Him, He says, I hear you and I will answer. I will answer. It's no, I'll think about it. He said, I will answer. Have the confidence that He's answered you. Well, you don't know how I feel. Don't worry about how you feel. Did He answer you? You say, yes. Are my lungs fresh and new as a baby? That's what I'm believing. That's what I'm believing. I'm not believing the report of what a doctor might say to me. Hey, they might have all those facts, but I have the truth. And the truth supersedes those facts. And I shall live a long life. And that's what we have to say. Because you're only speaking the truth. You're speaking God's word. And that's super cool. And that should bring great comfort. Great comfort. And just think about it. You get to talk to the Creator. The Creator. Our Creator. Our Creator. One who created the whole universe. And He'll take time to listen to you. You're a king's kid. You have a relationship with Him. All of you do out here. You know, all of you are born again. So you have a relationship. But He wants you to take the next step. He desires our fellowship and our communication. Take it to the next level. You might have a lot of relations, but do you fellowship a lot with them? Do you communicate a lot with them? God really looks forward to that. But she spoke the desired end result. She spoke faith-filled words. If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. And when she did, immediately, she was healed. Now, the if was not that she was unsure of the healing process. No, the if was for the concern of how she was going to get through the crowd that day undetected. You got to remember, she got caught out in her condition. I mean, they were going to stone her to death. That was the law back then. Did she put it all on the line? She put her faith on the line. Did Lynn put her faith on the line? Yes, she did. That's why she's in the condition she's in right now. She's on her way back. On her way back. Because we need you back there. Need you to get back in your position. Don't worry. We're going to put you right back to work when they give you that okay thing. But see, for her, the same way. Her faith made a way. Her faith made the way to go in there undetected. Yeah. She went in what you ladies have, the stealth mode. Yeah. I don't know about you guys, but Teresa just comes out of no man land in stealth mode. Like, whoa, where'd you come from? And Leanne, she operates the same way. And guess what? I found out Vicky operates that way too. Three of them, I don't stand a chance. The only lady in our house that I hear is I hear this. And that's Leia, because she gets up and her nails walk on the hardwood floor. It's like, okay, she's the one. She can't sneak up on me. Stealth mode. But her faith made that way. She went into stealth mode, went in there, undetected, unseen, and touched. And when you read it, the tassel. She wasn't standing up and put her arm out. She was just on her knee. She went undetected between all these guys. Nobody saw anything. She had to have been on her hands and knees or on her belly crawling. Faith. Faith. When you reach out to Jesus, reach out in faith. It brings high rewards, great rewards. Hallelujah. In Proverbs 17, okay, verses 27 through 28, it says, those who are sure of themselves do not talk all the time. People who stay calm have real insight. After all, even fools may be thought wise and intelligent if they stay quiet and keep their mouths shut. Make sure to pause and to think and to listen so that when you speak, you have something worthwhile and important to say. See, it's best that if you have nothing worthwhile to say, keep your mouth shut. And if you need a little help with what you say, you can ask God. Mm-hmm. And here's what you do. And this is Psalm 141, verse 3. And I'll repeat it just as it's written. Lord, help me control what I say, period. Don't let me say anything bad, period.
That was easy.
Yeah.
It's His Word. His Word has the answer for everything. Yeah. We speak a lot of words in a day. In fact, research shows that the average person speaks at least 7,000 words a day, with many speaking much more than that. In studies between men and women, it was found that women speak 13,000 more words a day. That's 20,000 words a day, ladies. Mm-hmm. And it all has something to do with, hey, doc, you'll like this. I'm talking to the other doctor next to you. It's the amount. they're both good doctors. I hate to say, both great doctors. I'm going to stop. I'm not going. Okay. See, but it has something to do with an amount of FOXP2 protein that is found in the language area of the brain. That explains a lot, doesn't it? Well, I know now why Teresa always gets the last word in, I can tell you that. But, you know, there are some men here today that also must have an overabundance of FOXP2 protein in their brain. And I won't mention Charlie's name at all. Hey, what are you laughing for, Tim? You weren't a salesman on the news for nothing. But if you do the math, think about this for a minute. If you do the math on that, over a lifetime, that's a lot of words. A lot of words. And here's what Jesus says. But I tell you that every careless and useless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it. The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. A lot of words. And they're being recorded in heaven. That's why the wrong confessions you make, you pray that, hey, nobody heard them. Change them. We can change our circumstances by what we say. Learn to choose and speak right words and change your future. Very simple, change your future. You probably remember the story in Numbers 13 and 14 about the Israelites in the Promised Land. Caleb had just returned from spying out the Promised Land. All the spies who had gone with him, except for Joshua, had come back with an evil report. They acknowledged that the land that they went in was a land that was good, and it was flowing with milk and honey. But they said it would be impossible to conquer. They came back with, the people who live there are strong, powerful, and giant in size. We seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes. They didn't think much of themselves, did they? And we looked the same to them. They were already making an assumption. They didn't know, like the people that went in when they took Jericho. They was in there, they were trembling. Praise God. Besides that, the cities, they were fortified, they said, and very large. And when the Israelites heard that news, they all started weeping and crying and whining. And it said in the Bible, what, wept loudly? Yeah. There must have been a lot of people there. But Caleb, he interrupted him. He said, wait a minute here. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will give us into this land, and a land that is flowing with milk and honey, and give it to us. Caleb wasn't just being positive. God had already promised to give them the land. He believed in God's promise to give them the land because it was the promised land. And God had promised it. He was declaring God's word and saying, by faith, we can do this. But those with a bad report, they were speaking unbelief. They not only said, We cannot do this. They said, we might as well have died in the wilderness. And they got the people to agree with the norm, with them. The entire generation of doubters died in the wilderness. They got what they said. But Caleb, he laid claim to the land and he walked right into it. Him and his buddy, Joshua, they got what they said. Saying and believing is God's plan for dominion. It's how we as Christians got born again. By saying and believing. And now that we're saved, we're supposed to receive all of the other blessings by using the same process, saying and believing. Sherry, simply believe. Simply believe. Jesus said we could have whatever we say. That's Mark 11, 23. But what did God reveal to Charles Capps? I have told my people that they can have what they say. And they are saying what they have. Quit saying what you have and start saying what God's Word says. Saying what you have has no power to change things. The key to receiving the desires of your heart is to make the words of your mouth agree with what you want. Sadly, however, a lot of believers haven't been doing that. They've just been riding along in a passenger seat, passively, unhappy, unhappy about what's happening to them. And yet, not using the power of their words to change things. Someone might say, I've never been a big fan of faith confessions. I like to leave everything up to God. He's really the one who chooses what's going to happen in our lives anyway. Wait one cotton-picking minute, folks. Wait. No, he's not. He's given that choice to us. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 14 and 15 says, no, the message is very close at hand. It is on your lips and in your heart so that you can obey it. Now listen. That's what he said. Now listen. What an exclamation point. I want to emphasize that. Today, I am giving you a choice between life and death, between prosperity and disaster. We are given a choice. If you go down to verse 19, it says, I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and cursings. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choices you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. We have to choose. And God even recommends what to choose. We have to speak what we want. And for me, I'm going to speak life and blessings. And as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Yeah, I think Joshua's words right there. I got that plaque hanging across our room. Just like the Israelites, we can have a bad report or a good report. And in the end, we will have what we say. So let's start exchanging wrong words for right ones. A bad report for a good faith-filled report. You don't have to agree with what the doctor said. That's his diagnosis. You can agree with the Word of God, though. I have told my people that they can have what they say, and they are saying what they have. Quit saying what you have and start saying what the Word of God says you have. When we continually speak the Word of God, we will change our circumstances. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you. God bless you.